If you have your order of service, or if you don't have one, you can still listen along as I read from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. I want to just set this up real briefly. Of course, this is the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead a week or so, maybe a month at the most, before Jesus himself would be crucified. Jesus in his earthly ministry, at least what is recorded, is there's three people that he raises: Jairus's daughter, and then the widow of Nain's son, and then of course Lazarus. This is the one that's probably most well known. We don't get to the actual raising of Lazarus in the story, because I'm focusing on other things in the story, although obviously that is the climactic event that occurs. But we're going to focus more on the words of the text before you get there. Now, do notice that when you get down to verse 5, then you'll see verse 18. And that was my mistake, that I didn't make it more clear that there was that we've got a section, verses 6 through 17, that is not included. That's a dialogue between Jesus and the disciples before they then head later to see the sisters of Lazarus before Jesus would raise him from the dead. So I want to invite you now to listen, to hear the Word of God. God in His goodness and kindness not only gave us this Word 2,000 years ago, inspired it so that it's the very Word of God, He also has wonderfully preserved it these 2,000 years for us, His people. So let's hear now the Word of God. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it said, he said then, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then the story continues on, and then we pick up at verse 18. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Of course, Lazarus had already died and been dead now for 4 days. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "O Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." I want to take just a few thoughts from this passage today and seek to apply them to this dear family as they are going through this grieving process now and will be for some time. The passing of Mike Luciano. Most of you know that as it is in God's providence and God's dealings with people, there's a great mystery there. Sometimes we pass rather quickly, either tragically by an accident or even in old age, we might go to bed and go to sleep and never wake up. And it's rather sudden, but that's not what we might call statistically the norm. Usually we suffer with sickness or with some kind of disease and then die. And yet, when we consider our friend Michael Luciano and this brain cancer, a kind of cancer that could have taken him much more quickly, we stand and we wonder why it took so long. And not only that, there were the complications of the fact that because of the brain cancer, he lost control of his emotions. He lost the ability to speak. He could only grunt and groan. And so that makes Mike's passing all the more difficult for his wife, Jerry, and his daughter, and for his siblings and the other loved ones. And so I think it's appropriate for us to try to consider God's providence of dealing with Mike and his family in this way, in the light of the Word of God. And I think John chapter 11 can help us. First of all, of course, what we note in this passage is we note the special love of Jesus for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We notice the special love that Jesus had for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, some of you, even in the church, might say, well, now, that sounds awful odd. I thought Jesus was very indiscriminate. You know, he loved all of us evenly and perfectly. And yet, you would be wrong. You'd be wrong to think that. Jesus is fully God, but he's fully man. And as he lived on this earth for some 30 years, he had some friends that were closer to him. He had 12 apostles. But Peter, James, and John were closer to him than the others. And he worked with them more than the others. And then there's this family. These adult siblings. We know nothing about them, much at all, except for the few stories about their life. But somehow they were in a special relationship with Jesus. We don't get the background that much. But in this instance, Lazarus is ill, and I think the implication of the text is he's not only ill, he's dying. I think the message that it is either sent on Facebook or WhatsApp or Courier or Camel, I don't know quite how it got there, but however the message got there to Jesus from the sisters, when they say, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill," that speaks volumes. In other words, I think the intent of the message is he's dying. Now, why would they send a message like that to Jesus? Because they've seen him over and over again heal people. But Lazarus is no ordinary person. Notice how they describe him there in verse 3. Lord, he whom you love is ill. They don't say Lazarus. They just say the one you love. Your buddy, Jesus, your best bud. He's dying. So you see, the text is at great pains to make it clear from the perspective of the daughters. Excuse me, from the perspective of the sisters, they know Jesus has a special relationship with Lazarus, and they can send a message to Jesus, and Jesus will respond because Jesus loves Lazarus. But just in case we didn't get that, John wants us to know that in verse 5, he's going to say it explicitly. First, it comes through the lips of the sisters, through the message. Now it comes from the apostle as he writes and he says, now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In other words, in case you missed it the first time, I'm going to say it explicitly. Jesus loved Martha. And her sister, why isn't she named? I don't know. But we know it's Mary and Lazarus. John says, look, I'm telling you that plainly. I can't tell it to you any more plainly. You've got to realize that's foundational to this text if you're going to make sense of what God is doing in the lives of his people. He loves this family. And then at the end of the text, you even see how the Jews say there in verse 36. So the Jews said, see how Jesus loved him. As Jesus is weeping at the tomb. Jesus is weeping at the tomb. He's about to raise him from the dead. But Jesus weeps. Jesus groans over the evilness of death, the consequence for sin. And he weeps over his friend whom he loves. And still loves. So here is special love that Jesus has for this family. And now I must apply that to all of us in the room, certainly the family, but all of us. Do you know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Apostle Paul describes it this way, that nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ. I ask you, do you know that love? For if you do not know that love, it's the only thing really worth knowing. But see, Jesus had not only a special love for Lazarus and for Mary and Martha, it's a perplexing love. It's a confusing love. You might say it's a frustrating love. It's a love that seems to almost make you want to pull your hair out kind of love. Now, I apologize that I left the verse 6 out of the reading. I'm going to blame it on the fact that I was battling the cold all this past week. But maybe in God's providence, it's better that it wasn't there so that now that as I read it, it'll stand out all the more. Remember, we've highlighted it. That Jesus has a special love for Lazarus and his sisters. And that John had just said that in verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But then you find these words. Listen carefully. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, in effect meaning dying, you go, how did Jesus know he was dying? Well, that's where you have to remember, he's also fully God and fully man. He knows all things. Notice, he's already said in the text that this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. In other words, Jesus knows not only will he die physically, but Jesus will raise him and it will glorify the Son. But again, here, verse 6, when Jesus heard Lazarus was ill, when Jesus heard Lazarus was sick, when Jesus got the message from the sisters, come quickly, he's dying, Jesus waited. Jesus didn't come. Jesus stayed put. So that by the time Jesus actually got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Remember, as they're about to open the tomb and Jesus says, open it, the sisters say to Jesus, can we not do that? It's going to smell. He's been in there 4 days. Jesus not only waited until Lazarus died, seemingly letting the hopes of these sisters whom Jesus loved be crushed, but now he's died, and now he's put in the grave, and it's been 4 days. Where is Jesus? He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus is in the tomb, and the sisters are grieving. And there you see the perplexing love of Jesus. They're right there together, verse 5 and 6. You can't miss it. John wants you to come face to face with the perplexing love of Jesus. Are you resting in Christ, and do you know that he loves you? Good. But does he also bring you through incredible trial and difficulty and suffering? Yes, that comes too. And our temptation is to say, how can this be love? How can this possibly be love? Surely Jesus could have intervened. Well, how do we deal with this perplexing love ultimately as God's people? Because in a sense, we all have to face it. You who are out of Christ, if you die outside of Christ, you're without hope and without God in this world, and you die hopeless and friendless and under the condemnation of God. And that's the saddest thing I can imagine. And could only but plead with you now to turn to the Savior. But if you're in Christ, you know nothing separates you from the love of God, but it can confuse you. It can perplex you. It can distress you. So that our psalmist in Psalm 13 says, why have you forgotten me forever? Well, Jesus helps us, doesn't he? Jesus helps us because he says, even before Lazarus had died, he says it to his disciples. They don't understand it. This illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. You see, Jesus was going to get the glory through Lazarus' death, because Jesus was going to raise him from the dead, which he did. But now that really upset the Jews, that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So they executed him. But they, of course, didn't get the last word, because God the Father raised him on Easter morning. And he's now ascended and at the right hand of the Father. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gets all the glory. But if you are in Christ, the promise of Scripture is sure. For those who love God, all things, everything, nothing excluded. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If you're outside of Christ, I only have one plea, and that's to come to Christ, for there's no other hope in Him. There's no hope in your righteousness because you don't have any. There's no hope in your best efforts because they're not much better. There's no hope in any other religion. I dare you, I challenge you. Tell me of another religion that has a Savior like Jesus. And there is none. So you that right now are without God and without hope in this world, you do not have to be that way. You can flee to Jesus and trust in Jesus. You can have the faith of Martha when she says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live." How can you know that you will live? Because God the Father raised Him on the third day. Where is our hope? Where is our confidence? We live in a fallen, sinful world. Jesus has destroyed the ruling power of sin. Jesus has taken our condemnation. But all the consequences of sin have not been dealt with and won't be dealt with till Christ returns. And so we look forward to His returning so that we too may be raised, body and soul, the church universal, worshiping and serving our Savior. Where's your hope, my friends? Oh, I hope it's in our Savior Jesus. If you have no clue what I'm talking about right now, oh, how I would plead with you. You really need to find out. I don't care about what influencers you think you have in your life and what platform they have. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. And I offer it to you this day. Let's pray together. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we humbly acknowledge that this family has had to experience the perplexing love of God these past weeks and months as they see their husband, father, brother, son, good friend, grandfather, suffer in such horrific ways. And if Christ had not been raised, then we of all people should be the most pitied. And yet Christ has been raised. The sting of death has been taken away. We look forward to that great day when King Jesus returns. Father, strengthen this family in the grace and the comfort of Your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.